I don't know about you, but every time I hear that voice, I tend to almost get goosebumps. It's such a familiar voice. It can almost haunt you. I had the privilege just a week or so ago to be on Al's program called Open Line. It's on several markets throughout the California area, throughout Los Angeles and several other stations. And he's an amazing man. We were sitting there just chatting, and I heard the music begin to roll in, but he doesn't get the least bit nervous. And I was very nervous. And we sat there, and suddenly it became time, and he said, "This is Al Sanders. Welcome to Hope in Line." And he just adjectives a beautiful statement about Ray Stedman's new book. I was dazzled. I thought, what a mind. Until I turned and saw he was reading the jacket cover of the book. He is a tremendously gifted man. He personally produces, and by production I mean introduces and closes, Chuck Swindoll's program. He's done it for years. And there's an awful lot of work involved in doing that, introducing that program, bringing it to a close. What many of you do not realize is that they produce several versions of that program. So the version you hear here in Dallas is different than you might hear in another city. In addition to that, they do syndicate Jim Dobson's program and send tapes across the country, tens of thousands of tapes. At any one moment, they have over $100,000 in reel-to-reel tape floating across America. They also represent Word of Life, Jack Wurtzen. They also represent Chapel of the Air, David Maines. Their ministry is extensive. What they bring to the industry, though, is integrity more than anything else. What Dr. Hendricks has said is very, very true. Wherever you go across America, dealing with stations, people involved in the media, the Christian media, ambassador advertising Al Sanders, his vice president John Campbell, they stand out because they're different. They're not in it just for the bottom dollar. No, they're in it to glorify our Lord, and that is their commitment. Tonight, though, I feel a little like, I guess, Danny White felt when Roger Staubach said he was quitting. Or how that man might feel when Tony Dorsett decides to hang up his cleats. Although I see myself not only as a teacher but as a catalyst for a team ministry, it's kind of incredible to have what many people feel is the greatest communicator available today, Christian communicator Howard Hendricks, say, "Nieder, it's your ball. Let's see if you can play in the game." What a challenge. As I thought through this challenge, there are several things I thought I'd share. And this is my heart. And this is what I want for the art of family living. This is what I want for all of us. The first thing I want more than anything is that we honor our Lord. One of the greatest fears I have is that having the opportunity to reach so many people, I have the opportunity to do one of two things. I want to bless them with the Word of God. I want them to know that God does live in this house. He can live in this house. He loves them. He cares about them. His way of relating, husband and wife, is the way to go. But I also know that many Christian leaders have fallen off the pedestals. Satan worshipers are praying that Christian leaders' homes and marriages are destroyed. The group in Canada that did that witnessed countless numbers of marriages of Christian leaders decimated in a year's time, as Satan worshippers pray that their life would be destroyed. A fellow on an airplane was sitting next to a man who he thought had an open Bible. It turned out it happened to be maybe the sixth book of Moses, a book designed for the occult. When asked what it was all about, he said, "We're praying that Christian leaders' marriages would be destroyed." I don't want to go that way. I don't. And above all else, I want the art of family living to point to the person of Jesus Christ every day they hear us. No man, but to our Lord. Let's get out of the celebrity status. Let's get away from that. Let's recognize that we all have to pull together. We are a body of believers. Let's quit pointing to the person who's on the platform. Let's all point to the one who holds it together, the one who brought salvation, the one that can bring harmony to a home. My deepest desire is that all that we do will point to Him and no one else. How do we do that? We need the heart of John the Baptist, don't we? You remember when John's disciples came to him? What did they say? They said, John, aren't you getting a little upset? All these disciples are following this Jesus. And John wasn't the least bit upset. His reply was, I must decrease and he must increase. All of us have to do that. Every moment of every day, we must decrease, he must increase. No longer is it my thoughts, they're his thoughts. It's no longer my life, it's his life. All that I do has to be for him. But another challenge comes in the area of prayer. It's so easy to get off our knees, isn't it? I have seen, as I have traced 6 years of ministry, how as soon as things got going pretty well, you tend to stand up, don't you? Kind of relax. Forget that maybe without God you can't pull it off. My friends, the one thing I have learned from some of the men on the board, I've learned from the experience of this ministry, is that unless we're on our knees, it's not going to work. And God will use circumstances, he will use other people to keep us on our knees. We've got to make it a priority. If we're not praying, we're not worth it. If we're not concerned about the people that write in, we don't have a ministry. You might remember that day in our Lord's life when he got up early in the morning. The day before was a hectic day, a busy day. The kind of day you have when you're on North Central and it's bumper to bumper. Exhausted, he still got up early in the morning and went into the mountains to pray. That says an awful lot in and of itself. But if you read on in the account, you'll recognize that Peter sought out our Lord in the mountains. And he came to our Lord, here's Peter, one of his best friends, and said, Lord, we need you. The crowds want you. They want to talk to you. They need you. Now, what would you have said at that point? Packed your bags and went with him? You know what our Lord said? Our Lord said, I can't come. He had to pray. Somewhere along the line, we have to learn the lesson that our Savior knew so well. That when we work, we work. But when we pray, he works. And he can do far more than we ever can. What I would like to see us do is maximize the gifts God has given to us. And I mean all of us, as a team. We need each other. As I look out over this sea of faces here, I see people who are my friends. Some of you I got to know it originally through the Art of Family Living. Many of you through years in the ambassador class that I teach. Married your daughter. We go back before you were married. We've had some sweet times at your house lately in Bible study. You took care of my children. Remember when Terry was having Katie and it wasn't going so well and she had to go to bed. You took care of my son. And you've held it against me ever since. But I look out over a group of people who I have felt your love. And I deeply appreciate that. We are building a team of teachers. Men like Gary Smalley, Gene Getz. Yesterday I met with Gordon McDonald, excited about the prospect of being part of this. What a privilege to be able to take men like this and possibly some women along the way. To take the best messages that they've ever given and expose that across the country. The best. Men, women who have given 10, 20, 30 years to studying one area of family life. All the insights the Spirit of God has given to them. And then allowing us to let people across this country hear those insights. I am so excited. Gary Smalley, for example. Many of you know Gary Smalley because of the radio program. But what you don't realize is when Gary was on the very first time, we offered his book, If Only He Knew. It's a book for men to understand that maybe they don't really have it wired just like their wife, and that we can learn from our wives when it comes to relationships. About a month after he was on, we had sent out several thousand books. We got a letter from a woman in northern Pennsylvania, and she wrote, I received the book by Gary Smalley. Thank you so much for allowing me to hear him and to be able to get his book. I gave the book to my ex-husband. We've been divorced for 5 years. It so impacted his life that we'll be getting married again in July. And that was the letter. My friends, what a privilege to be able to do that. Leighton Ford shared openly the testimony of his son's death and how God worked. So many people wrote in to say, I've had the same kind of loss. Thanks for giving me the hope that is mine in Christ. My friends, we have a privilege. We can pull together gifted men of God, gifted women of God, who have a message that God has refined in their life. A message we can then share with people across America. As I begin to see this team form, I'm thrilled by the way God is doing it. I'm a baby boomer. I'm riding the wave of that generation. I happen to be right smack dab in the middle of the biggest population group in America. And guess what? We're all struggling with the same things. I'm trying to figure out what it means to be both a husband and a dad. I've got little ones running around the house. And I'm defining what God would have me be in that home. And that's my heartbeat. That's the pressure area for me. Gary Smalley, he's got some junior hires, high school students, two boys and a girl. A whole different ballgame. He's got one son, I think, in eighth grade, you know, when the wheels fall off that age group. He's trying to cope and deal with that in a whole different way. See, he's got a different set of problems. A different perspective from the Word of God relative to where his family is right now. Gene Getz, Gordon McDonald, children are older. Gordon McDonald's daughter will be married this summer. His son is graduating from Wheaton College in May of next year. A whole different set of principles and priorities. This is our opportunity. When I say you're a part of the team, I mean that. Because as I look out over you and over this group of people and see you, I do see friends. But I see friends who are extremely gifted. I see a photographer who's able to make a little change in something that looks twice as good as the month before. I see a printer who took something we did, could show us how we could improve it, and decrease our cost 25%. Now, I like that. I see an accountant that makes sure we file on time, makes sure the IRS isn't after us. See people who know other people and invite them to listen. We have a doctor over there that's kept both Hendricks and Nieder alive for a number of years. Keeps telling them to go on a diet. My friends, what I want so much is for those of you here to recognize our great need for you and our desire to see us all honor our Lord by using the gifts He's given to us. In addition to the challenge to pray, to see the power of God, to utilize our gifts, to function as the body of Christ in a very special way to people across this country, we also want to be effective stewards. Some of you businessmen, I think especially, will appreciate this. We can reach a person, a given person in a given city, Seattle, Portland, Miami, Philadelphia, we can reach a given person every day, 260 times a year. 15 minutes of Bible teaching, practical, designed for husbands, wives, parents, for less than $1. I think that's pretty good. 260 times we can reach them for less than a dollar, an entire year of exposure. Someone shared the letter from Larry. Let me again read one paragraph because this is my heartbeat, and I think the heartbeat of the board. Thank you for the opportunity to share with you the kind of effect your ministry has had on my life. Each day I try to listen to your broadcast, and it has never failed to lift me up in some way. There's been many a day I've left the house with a poor attitude, angry toward my wife or because she didn't live up to my expectations, or angry towards my son because he didn't act just how I wanted him to. Boy, did I ever need lots of help. Your broadcast comes on in the morning, and I listen to it on the way to work. Many a morning, the Holy Spirit, that's who we need, the Holy Spirit convicts me to the point of crying because of the way I have treated my loved ones. Now, each morning, I try to take the time to listen to the broadcast. It's a beautiful way to start each day. Your ministry is a true blessing to me, and often says to me the very things I need to hear. Less than a dollar. And what I think of is we now have a wife who, although the situation isn't perfect, it's progressing. A husband who wants to live for Jesus Christ. In fact, he goes on and asks how he can be a crucified husband. He can die to himself and live for his family. Do you have any suggestions on how I can do that? That's what he asked. There are a lot of Larrys across America. There are a lot of women married to Larrys across America. My wife is married to a Larry from America. Larry's problems are my problems. Larry's problems are your problems. But to touch his life, to have that opportunity, to see a marriage get just a bit better and better from daily input. And think of the chain reaction. A happier wife, think of those children. You see, an angry dad produces a child who doesn't want to know Jesus Christ. I was with Ross Campbell just 2 days ago, a psychiatrist from Chattanooga, Tennessee. Ross Campbell has written a book called How to Really Love Your Teenager. You know what he told me? Studies show that only 20% of children that are raised in evangelical homes, only 20% keep the faith, continue to go on in a relationship with Jesus Christ. 20%. When I asked him why, he said the parents' anger is caught by the children. And they get angry, and the way they express it is when they hit 17 or 18, they tell mom and dad, the most important thing in your life is Jesus Christ. It's the last thing I want. And that's how they get back. I want to close, though, just with a personal word. It's interesting to me that a little boy growing up in the city of Philadelphia who came from a broken home, who was raised by his grandmother, who saw his alcoholic grandfather bouncing from bar to bar in Philadelphia, would be called upon to be one of the foremost spokesmen to the family here in America. What really amazes me, though, is that a number of years later, just across the Delaware River, was a little boy who grew up in a home where mom and dad didn't get along and were separated for a number of years. Dad had a drinking problem. And many a night he'd come home drunk. And there'd be that confrontation there that a little boy didn't need to see. There was a little boy that would say, "You touch my mom, I'll kill you." A little boy who grew up with a great fear of ever getting married, because if this is what marriage is all about, I don't want it. And it's out of that pain, that anguish, those memories, that develops a deep appreciation for my wife, for my children, and for this opportunity. I think we're like the church at Philadelphia. In Revelation chapter 3 and verse 8 it says, and this is our Lord speaking, "I have put before you an open door which no one can shut." He's got to put the door there. He keeps the door open. He allows us to go through. My friends, we need you to go through that door with us. We want you to go through that door with us. There are hurting hearts that need a word from God. Together, we can offer its healing touch. We need things like accountability. I want to be accountable to you as my friends. Some of you I will know better than others, and I want to be accountable to you. I want you to take a good look at my life, and though recognizing that I got a lot of problems like everybody else, make sure I'm progressing. Al, you make sure I'm real. Gary Smalley, John Trent, and I have agreed together that if there's any inkling that it's not going well in Nieder's home, or in Smalley's home, or in Trent's home, two will gang up on one. But as we grow to know you better, we want to be accountable to you. I need that. We need that with each other. I've even asked Fred Sewell, as one member of the board, to specifically say, "Fred, let's spend a little time together, as much as you can possibly give me. Keep an eye on me, Fred. I need that." It was Fred Sewell who, after a year of ministry, was the only person the only one who looked me straight in the eye and said, John, do you have enough time with Thurry and the kids? I said, excuse me, Fred, I have to go to the men's room. The answer was no. I need that. We need encouragement. We need to pick each other up. We want to build you up. We want to build each other up. My friends, we want you to be a part of this, but the part that you play in this... The part you play in this begins with allowing your marriage and your family life to reflect the truth of the Word of God. If you are hurting, and I know some of you are, we want to pray. We want to help. We want to do all that we can. And then prayer. Would you make prayer a priority? Begin with your own spouse, your children. But as you listen to the program or you think of us or something comes to mind, would you ask our Lord to move in a special way, to protect us, to guide us, to provide for us? My friends, there is an open door. I'm 33 years old, and I don't know if this door opens up on 40 years in radio or not. If that's what the Lord wants, I'm willing to give Him what it tells us in Romans chapter 12. Offer your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. My life is on the line. I'll give it if this is where He wants it. And every indication is that He does. I'll put it all on the line, but there are two things I can't put on the line. That's this gal right here and those little kids at home. See, if we don't pull together, help one another, we can't carry it. But together, with that open door, looking to our Lord, each of us using our unique gifts, talents, and resources, my friends, we can have a party just like this in heaven and rejoice at the fruit of our labor together. And by the way, I've already scheduled Larry for that meeting. He's going to come and talk to us. We deeply appreciate your taking the time to be with us this evening. Thank you for all that you have done. Thank you for your friendship, for your love, for your encouragement. For 6 years now, and we trust for many more years to come. We might want to just take a moment. I don't know if you have any questions. We're a little bit earlier than we suspected because Gene said he wants his people at the early service tomorrow. If you have any questions, we might want to just field. If not, Fred, why don't you come up and lead us in prayer? Fred Sewell, member of the board. Fred?
Father, we just thank you so much for this special time tonight. Father, we thank you for the fellowship that we have with our friends. Father, we just really praise you for the work that you've done through the Art of Family Living, and Father, for the lives that you've brought close to yourself through this ministry. Father, we've just watched you provide for the people, for the funds, and for every need. Father, we thank you for the prayer warriors. We just thank you for their faithfulness and for their just spirit of love. And we thank you for those lives that have been brought so close to you through the prayer and through your word and through its being proclaimed clearly. And Father, we thank you for Harry, for John and Tom and Bill and so many others. We just really praise you for their lives. And Father, we can pray that you'll continue to work through the lives of your servants. Father, just give each one of us hearts that are totally yielded to you and available for you to use. We just ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.